ुण्डनवतीं तेजोमयीनैष्टिकीं स्निग्धापाङ्गविलोकिनीं भगवतीं मन्दस्मितश्रीमुखीं वात्सल्यामृतवर्षिणीं सुमधुरं सङ्गीतनालापिनीं श्यामाङ्गीं मरुसिक्तसूक्तिम् अमृतानन्दात्मिकामीश्वरीम्
அம்மே நின்பதாரேவின் அபயமென்னோலீடுமியே செம்மே திருக்கரப்பல்லால் தழுவிடும் ஸ்நேகாமிருதம் தூகியும் சம்மோதத்தோடு சாந்த்வனங்கள் அருளும் தேஜஸ்வினி சத்குரு பிரம்மானந்த சம்பனிஞ்ச பொருளே நீ தன்னியாஸ்ரயம் பிரம்மானந்த சம்பனிஞ்ச பொருளே நீ தன்னியாஸ்ரயம் பிரம்மானந்த சம்பனிஞ்ச பொருளே நீ தன்னியாஸ்ரயம் Here we will see in brief the first sutra of Brahma Sutra of Chatusutri. So the stage for first sutra is set by Shankara by speaking about Adhyasam. So he said that Adhyasam is Sarva Anartha Hetuhu. Sarva Anartha Hetuhu, it is the cause of all sorrows or troubles that we are having. So as we discussed, the reason for mentioning Anartha Hetu, or the reason for our sorrows, is because we want to come out. So what is the purpose of learning Vedanta? So that is being explained by Shankara by telling that Adhyasam causes us to suffer. So if we have to get rid of suffering, then we have to learn Vedanta. So that is the context, or that is the context between Shankara's introductory commentary about Adhyasam and the very first sutra, Brahma Sutra. Though we have already discussed the Chatusutri in brief as to what is the path, what happens and all, so this is what, how it goes, the first four sutras, and before that Adhyasa Bhashyam. So that means first mention, or like first give the reason for starting Brahma Sutra, the reason for learning Brahma Sutra, from Vyasa's perspective, reason for writing Brahma Sutra, for a sadhaka's perspective, or for learning, it is for learning. From Vyasa's perspective, it is like to mention about it. From our perspective, it is for learning. So learning and thereby coming out of sorrow. So Adhyasam is the first step to Brahma Sutra. So Chatusutri, the four sutras speak about different things, not exactly different thing. Each sutra gives a different view or like different level. But before that, we should say Adhyasam. Adhyasam is the cause of all sorrow. So even as Buddha's four teaching, or the four teaching that Buddha gave, it is very, very popular that Buddha gave four teachings. So he said, first teaching, or the first knowledge that he gave was, or it's also called like four truths of Buddha. So the first is, there is suffering in the world. And the second one was, this suffering or sorrow has a cause. And then he goes on to explain, the cause is desire. That's the third one. And the last one is, we can put an end to suffering if desire is removed. So here also, like, Buddha starts with saying that there is suffering in the world. So for a sadhaka, the first thing to note is that whether I have anandam. My nature is anandam, whether I have anandam. As long as, whether I am in sorrow. So as long as the answer to the question whether I have sorrow is no, and the answer to the question that I have anandam is yes, there is no purpose to be gained out of Vedantam. There is no purpose to be gained out of Brahma Sutra, because such a person thinks that he is realized, such a person thinks that he is happy, therefore he will never want a higher happiness. Whatever we may try to prove that the happiness derived from the external world is limited, whereas the happiness in Brahman alone is eternal, such a person will never come. So the very first step for the spiritual seeker is to know that I am ignorant. Of course, any perspective or any view or concept at the Vyavaharika level has two extremes. So a sadhaka should ensure that he doesn't go to one extreme or the other extreme. So this statement that I am ignorant, in one way, like, we can go to the extreme. So what the extreme of ignorance is that I am ignorant, contemplating that I am ignorant. So the more and more we contemplate that I am ignorant, such a person will never realize, because he is concentrating on the wrong thing. It's like telling there is snake in the rope, there is snake in the rope. Snake vision is there. If you contemplate on snake vision more and more, snake vision becomes true, even if we don't want it to be true. So that is one extreme. And the other extreme is, there is no ignorance. I am Brahman. Such a person cannot realize. So Yoga Vasishtha starts by telling that Adhikari, who is the Adhikari for Brahma Sutra, Yoga Vasishtha? Who is the Adhikari? Who is the person who has to learn Yoga Vasishtha? So it says, there are basically three types of people. So one is a person who is ignorant, who is totally ignorant. Such a person will never want moksha, because he doesn't know about it, he doesn't care about it. And the other is a Jivan Mukta, realized saint. He doesn't need moksha as well. So who is who does Yoga Vasishtha target? Yoga Vasishtha targets the intermediate, the sadhaka. Sadhaka knows he is ignorant, but he knows that he is ultimately blissful. So we shouldn't go to one extreme is that I am realized or I am happy. That means you cannot ever realize. And the other is I am ignorant. Some people might say, okay, I am the first step to, this guy said, like, the first step to realization, the first step in the seeker's path is I am ignorant. So I am ignorant. So even when we know that I am ignorant, because ignorance is there, it's a fact, it's an experience. So ignorance is there, but we should also remember the truth that my nature is Brahman. If we forget that my nature is Brahman, we will always be ignorant, because we don't know our own real nature. So that is essential for a seeker. It is essential for a seeker not to just want moksha. So we can just seek moksha from Amma. That is fine. But when we are seeking moksha, why do we want moksha? Because we have bandham. Therefore we want moksha. But if we want moksha, we should know that what is moksha? Moksha means knowing that I am Nitya Mukta Atma. I am that Nitya Shuddha Buddha Muktam. That is what Shankara says in his Chatusutri Bhashyam. He says the Atman is Nitya Shuddha Buddha Muktam. So Nitya Shuddham, Nitya Buddham, Nitya Muktam. So Nitya Shuddham, ever pure. Nitya Buddham, ever enlightened. Nitya Muktam, ever liberated. So we need to ask Amma, say that, Amma, I know my nature is Brahman. I know I am that one Brahman. But still I don't experience it, having gained experience of it. Therefore, grant me that. So that is the moksha that a sadhaka has to ask. My nature is Brahman, I know. But I don't experience it, therefore I need it. So as long as we don't know that our nature is Brahman, we'll be seeking something. So we'll go to Amma and say, Amma, give me moksha, not knowing what is moksha. So a lot of people ask Amma that, like, one girl in Amma's school, not school, Amrita Institute, Computer Technology Institute, she was learning BSc. So she was very close with my sister. So she asked, Amma, can you get rid of vasanas? Of course, like, it is just samsargam and some discourses or some shravanam. Some shravanam gave her something that vasana is a trouble. So she asked, Amma, remove my vasana. Amma said, like, go to the nearby shop, get a margur soap and then clean it up. So that means, like, certain things are, it's very important as to what we ask. And it's not just what we ask. Do we really know what we are asking? So that knowledge about what we are asking is important. We may ask moksha to Amma, Amma will never give us moksha, because unless we know that we are that mukta atma, we can never get moksha. Moksha means what? Realizing our nature. Moksha means getting rid of adhyasam. Moksha means chit jada chintanam, and through that, knowing that I am chit, I am not jadam. That is moksha. So like that means, like what I'm trying to tell here is that there's an intermediate path. Like we need to know we are ignorant, because if we say I am realized, then there is no path, we will never realize. So we have to know we are ignorant, but we should also know that my real nature is untainted by ignorance. Like we said, that chit and jadam, though jadam is seen in chit, yet chit is not affected. Chit is not least, like not very, not even one, it is not at all affected by jadam. That's what we said. Sorry, even as an illusion is seen in the substratum, and the substratum is unaffected. The dreamer dreams, he undergoes various experiences in dream, but still he is unaffected, untainted by the dream experience. That is what Brihadaranyaka Upanishad says, that asangohi ayam purushaha. Ayam purushaha, this self, this pulsating atman, this bodham or brahman as we say, that is asangam, it is unattached. So we need to know this, we need to know like as to what is Brahman, and then ask Amma, then Amma will know as to what we are really asking. Else what would happen is, it's like a small kid, a very small kid going to Amma and asking, Amma, I need a gun. Why? No, it looks so cool, therefore I need it. So the kid will not be given it, because it doesn't know really why it wants or what is the purpose. So that is, though we need to know that we are suffering, we need to also remember that my very nature is Brahman. That is also very essential in the spiritual path. Like people who are on both extremes, who go to both extremes, they will never realize. So whenever we are in the spiritual path, we need to know that I am that one Atman, because only Brahman exists, only Bodham exists, therefore I am that. But still, for now, I don't experience it. So let me try out the way out of this. Once we know the way out of it, once we know how to get out of it, then we just need to follow it, always knowing that I am that, I am that, I am that. Oh, we may say, oh, Paramatma says that if you just do who am I, who am I, who am I, you will go mad. What he means there is, who am I? If a person does inquiry of who am I, what he means is like mere just asking, who am I, who am I, who am I? Let me say, aham brahmasmi, aham brahmasmi, aham brahmasmi. If we do that, we will not become Brahman. We will become man. There is no doubt that we will become man. So we need to know as to what, why we say aham brahmasmi, because there is only chit. Jadam is unreal. Therefore, chit alone is there, that is akanda ananda bhodam. That I am. That we need to know. That is the essence of aham brahmasmi. If we know that and contemplate on aham brahmasmi, then that is the way to realization. So the first four sutras, though directly doesn't speak about the path or like the how a seeker should realize Brahman, Shankara is compassionate enough to give the way in the fourth sutra commentary. So he gives that. So the four sutras don't speak about the path, but still Shankara gives us the path. So that much about it. So adhyasam. So the first step for a seeker is to know that there is adhyasam, but adhyasam is unreal. So I see water in desert, but it is unreal. Oh, what is the use of such vision? So Shankara says this is the vision of a jnani. He says in his commentary, Gita commentary on the fifth chapter, he says that a person might see water, like two people are there, two perspectives, the vision of a jnani, the vision of an ajnani. Both see water in desert, both run behind water, but the jnani, when he doesn't get water, he gets affected. Whereas the jnani already knew that there is no water, He just did it. Why did he do it? Actually speaking, frankly speaking, he is not doing at all. But if I say he is not doing, you will not believe it. That's why the Shastras say, tenderly I am telling that he is doing. Take it for granted that he is doing. You will slowly realize that he is not at all doing. So that is the advantage. So if we remember that I am Brahman, we remember this truth that everything is one Brahman, I am that Brahman, and Adhyasam is only an illusion in me, there is no real Adhyasam. If we constantly remember that, that is the path to realization. We don't need any sadhana. Then why do you tell that we have to do 6 or 7 hours of sadhana, chant Lalita Sahasranama, do bhajan, all this. All these are ways to strengthen the mind. Our mind is not so strong that we can always think about it. If we can always think about it, then we will not be learning even Brahma Sutra, because we will be in Brahman. We will be immersed in Brahman. So that itself means that we need strength of mind. The mind needs strength to remember, strength to overcome the sorrows. That strength, it's not, these sadhanas don't give us knowledge. These sadhanas only give us the strength to the mind. Once the mind is strong, you give knowledge, you feed knowledge to the mind, immediately it will realize. So that is how the Shastras say, or Shankara and others say about the spiritual path. In the spiritual path, if our mind is pure, if our mind is perfectly pure, then when the Guru says Tattvamasi, the person will realize. Because the mind is pure. So, but our mind is not pure, it's not strong, therefore we need to go through. So the path is also, we now know the path, we will discuss that later in detail. So the path is Adhyasam. We need to know that Adhyasam is there. That is why we are learning Brahma Sutra. And Adhyasam is not real. Adhyasam itself means superimposition, itself means that it is unreal. That itself speaks for it. So it's the advantage of the word Adhyasam. Adhyasam itself means that it is something which is not there but seen. That's the reason why Madhusudana Saraswati in Advaita Siddhi, he starts by telling that there are the two aspects of Brahma Satyam and Jagan Mithya. So which should we take first? Should we explain Brahma Satyam or should we explain Jagan Mithya? Both are same thing, two different perspectives. So which should be explained? So he says Jagan Mithya is to be taken. Advantage is, if you say take Jagan Mithya, automatically Brahma Satyam gets proven, and it is Jagat that causes problem. It is not lack of knowledge of Brahman that causes problem. It is attachment to Jagat, considering Jagat as real, that veils Brahman and causes trouble. So if our conviction grows about Jagan Mithya, then automatically Brahma Satyam comes as the substratum. Because when we say something is Mithya, there should be a substratum, that is Brahman. So Adhyasam itself means there is a substratum. So Adhyasam, we should remember that Adhyasam is Chit, between Chit and Jadam. Though Shankara uses here like Atma and Anatma, those are different, two different words. Atma is that which pulsates, Anatma is which cannot pulsate. So those are like, there are different words used in all over the Shastra. So Chit Jadam is one, Sat Asat is another, Brahman Jagat is another, Drid Drishyam is another word used. Kshetram and Kshetrajna. Kshetrajna is the resider or the person in the Kshetram, that means in the Kshetram of body. That means Kshetram is Jadam, Kshetrajna is Atman or Chit. So these are different terms. Like, we shouldn't, whenever we listen to it, we shouldn't think, oh, Paramatma today spoke about, like, he spoke a lot about Kshetram and Kshetrajna. It was too good. We should never think that, because it is the same concept. Just different words used for the same thing. So Adhyasam means Chit and Jadam are mixed. That itself means my nature is really Chit. I don't know it now. So if I don't know it now, there is Adhyasam. That is the first thing that, like, in starting of Brahma Sutra, there is Adhyasam. If Adhyasam is there, then the seeker knows that Adhyasam is there. Adhyasam is there means he has anartham. he has sorrow. So he asked the Guru, I have sorrow. Why do I have sorrow? So the Guru says, sorrow is due to adhyasam. That is the first step. Then the very next question the disciple would ask is, then if adhyasam is there, then tell me what should I do? What should I do? Obviously, if we know that we are attached to jadam, then what should we do? We should know about chit. Now we already know, so that's the point of like paramarthika level. When we are speaking about jada chintanam, or when we are speaking that there is only Brahman, from that perspective, like we cannot explain in parts like Brahma Sutra or any other work goes, like Paramartha explains, we cannot explain it that way when we are dealing with one Brahman. The moment we say there is only Brahman, the moment we say chit and jadam, there is no jiva, kudastha, there is nothing at all. So that means we cannot have a procedural way of or flow. Step by step process we cannot have, because this is the basis for all step. That is set means it doesn't matter, order doesn't matter. So consider that like we don't know that. So the Guru says there is adhyasam. What is adhyasam? There is chitta and jadam mixing, that is adhyasam. That causes sorrow. If then what should I do? Should I know jadam? So if I have to get rid of adhyasam, I need to know about chit jadam, as we discussed earlier. If we need to get rid of adhyasam, we need to know that jadam is nitya, and we need to know that chit is satyam. That's what we said. Like we have to negate or know that jadam is mithya or unreal and chit alone is real. So considering from the Shishya's perspective, he doesn't know that this is what is to be done. So he asks the Guru, what should I do? I know that chit and jadam, now you say adhyasam happens. What should I do? So should I learn about jadam or should I learn about chit? What is the procedure? So we all are aware of jadam. The only knowledge we gain in the world is about jadam. Like wherever we go, we know about jadam. We have heard a lot about jadam. Like whatever we have learned, like various degrees, various technologies and various skills of the world, all skills like including walking, talking, everything is part of jadam, because it is not related to Brahman. It is not related to the Atman. It is not about Atman. So we already know about jadam. We have general knowledge about jadam. We just need to be aware of the nature of jadam. So we know jadam, but we are not aware of the nature of jadam. So here what it means is that we know jada vastus, we have knowledge, specific knowledge about jada vastus, specific in the sense I mean like specialized knowledge, but we don't know its nature. So what is the nature of jadam? If somebody asks the nature of jadam, what? If somebody asks what is the nature of jadam, then we should say, quoting Krishna, we should say, anityam asukam lokam. Lokam means jadam. Lokam or Jagat, as we said, Brahman and Jagat, Brahman and Lokam, those are paryayam for Chit and Jadam. So if somebody says Jadam nature, that means like the Guru will say, okay, tell me like, should I learn about Jadam? Then the Guru will say, you already know about it, but I'll like give you some extra knowledge. I'll add some knowledge to you, value addition I'll give. That is Anityam Asukam Lokam. Anityam Asukam Jadam. So jadam is anityam and asukam. So what, if this is the nature of jadam, what will I gain out of this knowledge? With this knowledge, shouldn't enter into controversies, you shouldn't argue, you shouldn't like question me later, but if this knowledge about anityam, asukam, lokam is clear, then we will not need anything else to do. Automatically, satyam or chit will be known, because anityam asukam, the moment we know that something is anityam, something is asukam, immediately we will get away from it. that's human nature. So we don't put our hand on fire because we know that it is asukam. We know it is asukam, therefore we'll not put our hand into it. We don't depend on a car. Rather, we depend on the house because the car is temporary. We have attachment to car, but still we know it is temporary. Therefore, we don't stick on to it. The best example is when you are getting into a bus. You are not attached to the bus in any way because you know that it stays only for a limited period of time. So we have experience of anityam and asukam. We know what is anityam, we know what is asukam. And we know that both of them will not help us. Both these will lead us to more and more sorrow, more and more trouble. Therefore, if we know anityam asukam, then immediately a proper shishya will say, okay, I am negating everything. Whatever is jadam, I am negating. No, so what remains behind, if we remove jadam, what remains behind is chit. Hope I'm not confusing. It's blank faces. Anyway, like it doesn't matter. You have to do a lot of mananam to understand it. So jadam, if we negate jadam, if we say, okay, I am removing jadam, then what remains behind is chit. So that is where the guru will reply to the shishya saying, okay, I have negated jadam. Now what should I do? Now you have to know Brahman. So that is the first sutra. So the process is adhyasam. The guru, the shishya, like we can imagine as a like story. The shishya goes to the guru and says, oh guru, I am having sorrow. I'm not happy. I need dukkha nivritti and sukha prapti, as we said. So dukkha nivritti and sukha prapti itself means that dukkha nivritti means dukkham is there. Sukha prapti means sukham is not there. So I do have dukkham, I don't have sukham. Help me out of this. To which the guru says, the sorrow what you have as well as not having bliss also is because of adhyasam. Adhyasam means know that there are only two entities here. One is pulsating self chit and the other is jadam. Oh, after knowing about chit, like when the guru says there are two entities, one is chit, one is jadam, why do I need to know more about chit? We'll come to that. Because the guru now says chit is pulsating, chit is one Brahman, but still he has to explain it in a gradual way through logical explanation, which he does in the second, third and fourth sutras. He does that. So chit is, there are only two entities. Okay, for the shloka of Brahmajnanavali Mala is Drig Drishyav Dau Pradatau Staha, sorry, Dvav Padatau Staha Paraspara Vilakshanav Drig Brahma Drishyam Mayeti Sarva Vedanta Dindima. In analysis, there are only two entities. One is Drig and Drishyam, means Chit and Jadam. Chit is Brahman, Jadam is Jagat, or Maya means it is an unreal. This is what Vedanta says. So chit is that which pulsates in us, consciousness, which is blissful in nature. Jadam is dukkham in nature. So that means, like, what is the problem? We mix these both. When we mix chit and jadam, Shankara like mentioned in his Adhyasa Bhashyam, we haven't entered into Adhyasa Bhashyam, like we just had a brief view of what he says. That's it. We didn't enter into each and every like line or what he says exactly, because it's not really required. But he says that this chit and jadam are like prakasham and tamas. Prakasham means light, tamas means darkness. So they are like light and darkness. So how can both remain together? How can adhyasam be possible? Adhyasam is possible only when one is veiled, other shines above it. So darkness, what is darkness? Unavailability of light brings in darkness. So chit and jadam mixing means chit is veiled, jadam shines. So that means sukham is veiled, dukkham shines. That means I have dukkham, I don't have sukham. So make it the opposite. Make jadam vanish, bring in chit, dukkha nivritti happens and sukha prapti happens. So the guru says, Chit and Jadam, these are the two entities that are present. So Jadam, I'll tell you about Jadam. This is first, let me talk about Jadam because you already know about Jadam. So that is...
My question.
Yeah.
You're saying that absence of light means in darkness,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah, it's a bit controversial topic, like, so we'll not enter much into it. Like, what's your doubt first, let me ask.
But it's like the ignorance covering it, right? Veiling it. The image in the mirror is veiled by the dirt over the mirror because of which we don't see the reflection in the image, in the mirror, right?
Okay, there is no analysis of reflection and all. Theory of Jiva and other things doesn't come. So the only thing that is meant there is, like, we shouldn't think about mirror and other things. So it is just a way of telling that since ignorance is there, we don't know the self. Since ignorance is there, we don't know the self. So can ignorance be there in the light or blissful self? So it cannot be there, that means it veils. It's a way of explaining, that's it. It veils. And your question to, like, darkness, those are different ways of telling, that is, light is veiled by darkness, we can say. Or we can say darkness removed light. Whichever way we say, or whichever way we explain, darkness is not at all there. Is darkness something which is really there? How will you define darkness?
Absence of light. Light is always there, right?
Meaning, that means this absence of light is only an illusion. Don't see from this light perspective. From this light perspective, we cannot really explain because Upamanam, we cannot extend analogy to everything. It just means that absence of light is called darkness. When light is not there, darkness comes. That is the only analogy there. It's not like, oh, can the state with darkness be there? There cannot be. That's the reason why Balakrishna Nair and Vedanta says that Chit and Jadam, you are always Chit. Like Vedanta doesn't, Abhyasam itself means that the shining, the pulsating eye is always there. It is because of the ego eye that this pulsating eye becomes veiled.
Yeah.
And as to real, can it really veil? Then, like, we should go back to what Shankara said, Nitya Shuddha Buddha Mukta Atma Aham. Doesn't that explain it? That means there is no real veil. There is no real veil. It's only an appearance. It's only something which seems to be there. It's like the snake in the rope. We can say that, oof, I went near and the snake vanished. But was the snake really there in the first place? It was not there. That is what we are trying to prove here. That Chit and Jadam. Jadam is not at all there, unreal. That's what we said. Like, Jadam is not at all there. Whatever is there is only Chit. That's why it's called Akhanda Ananda Bodham. Akhandam means there is no division, there is no part, there is no duality. So, like, we don't need to enter into too much analysis and all. Only thing is, somehow, okay, how this came, how, like, Jadam came into existence, how did it veil? So the only reason that a guru can give is that, oh, don't bother about it now. There is no real veil. But if I tell you that, you will not understand. Therefore, for now, consider that somehow it veiled. Somehow it came. So a person who sees snake in rope, does he try to find out where did the snake come from? So Balakrishnan Nair says, that it's like the current day scientists, they try to find out about the world, where the world is created. Big Bang theory, this theory, expansion theory, all theories, analysis goes into all these theories. And then, like, somebody like Stephen Hawking and other people, they'll say, okay, is God there? Is God not there? Proof of God, proof of not God, proof of God as a Christian, as Jesus Christ, proof of God as Vishnu, all these analysis is like once it seems like, okay, I'll make it an elaborate story so that these guys will understand, can relate it to how they speak. Anyway, I was just joking. Okay, tube light, something happened. Anyway, that's fine. So, so it seems Balakrishnan Nair gives this analogy. So he says, like, few scholars, like scientists, they got together. They were trying to analyze like water, the nature of water, the nature of a particular water, the water that is seen in desert. They saw that there is water in desert, so they started thinking, they started analyzing as to, oh, that water seems to be like, it has a lot of waves, it is not a pond, it is an ocean. No, there is a lot of dirt in the water, it's not clean. I don't see waves there. Waves are impossible. Why? Because for ocean, there is, we cannot find the ends of ocean, but I can find where that starts and ends. So this discussion goes on and on. Will there be any end to it? There will be no end. There is no purpose at all because there is no water at all in the desert. So that's the only way the Guru can explain or say that. For now, just assume somehow it came. So when we see an illusion, when we see snake in rope, we'll never try to find out as to why the snake came. If that was the approach we really took, then when we were born and when we start speaking, we'll start questioning as to how was I ignorant of speaking? How is it that I didn't come to know of speaking? How is it that like I didn't know driving? Nobody asked. They just take lessons. Some people take lessons for others. Proxy lessons. So people take lessons and then start driving. They never question as to why like I was ignorant. But when it comes to Vedanta, we have to question that. That is how life goes. But like,
in fact,
the story, Balakrishnan Nair gives a story about like few scholars or scientists trying to analyze as to the nature of water, the water that is seen in desert, as to whether it is an ocean, whether it's a pond, whether the water is dirty, whether the water is clear, whether the water is salty, whether there are fishes in the water, whether they can take bath in the water. So all those, okay, some people will not want that, but that's fine. So all these are futile, it's of no use, it's worth, like, is it worthless? Yeah, it is worthless. All these are worthless because there is nothing at all. So when somebody asks, like, why am I ignorant? The Guru can only say that, okay, for now, don't ask that question. That is like you are crossing the line. So like if you cross the line, then Balakrishnan would say, don't argue, you go your own way. Don't come and talk to me. You can go your way, I don't care. Don't come to me. If you come to me, then you'll have to follow what I say. You'll have to first at least accept what I say. And then like find out whether it is right or wrong. Oh, then tell me, what should I do? Ignore. For now, accept that somehow Jadam has veiled Chit. How? Why? That cannot be answered, but I guarantee you, the Guru will say that, I guarantee you that once you progress in the path, you will know that there is only Chit, there is no real veiling at all. So that's the reason why Nachur also says in many of his books, he says the only question that Ramana Maharshi used to tell was, who am I? That's the only question that can be answered. Why, where, how, when? Oh, creation. Oh, Paramartha speaks about creation following Shankara in Tattva Bodha. So that same creation theory may be refuted by Vidyaranya, who is also an Advaitin, or other schools. That is only like taking you to a level and saying that the world is unreal. Why can't we directly accept it? So we just have to accept that somehow Jadam has veiled. We should never question it. Like we don't question many whys. Like we don't question as to Like, why we don't remember mathematics? We learn mathematics, why don't we know? Nobody asks. If I know I am ignorant of mathematics, therefore I don't know mathematics, then I learn it. So I don't. Somehow Jadam has veiled Chit. So let me know Chit. So the Shishya goes to the Guru says, Jadam, the nature of Jadam is Anityam Asukam. So immediately the Shishya will say, okay, then I am negating. So what is left behind? Chit. You have explained to me Chit, you have said that Anandam Akanda Bodham. But like, tell me a little bit about it. Give me a systematic view of that, of about Brahman. So that's where the gurus would say, will say that, okay, since you have now, you have sorrow, you want to leave from sorrow, you know that there are only Chitta and Jadam. Jadam has to be negated. Now let us know about Chit. So that is the first sutra of Brahma Sutra. So Brahma Sutra is also, as I have, I think I have said, Brahma Sutra is like split into four chapters. So each chapter is split into padam. So each of the chapter has four padam, that means totally 16 padam. And each of the padam, so adhyayam or chapter, padam, and then adhikaranam. Adhikaranam means topics. Different topics, it's like just heading or saying this topic, that topic, that way. So this topic is given. So chapters, padam, adhyayam, padam, and adhikaranam. This is like, you don't really know, need to know all this, but then later like you shouldn't question, like you shouldn't say, oh, when I spoke with Tejo Mayananda, I said like I know Brahma Sutra, Chatusutri. He asked me like, which all adhikaranam you know? And I was unable to answer, what have you taught me? You said you explained to me Brahma Sutra, Chatusutri, and you didn't even like give me the outline or the how Brahma Sutra is like laid down, or like the parts of Brahma Sutra. So that is the reason why I'm telling it's like adhyayam, four adhyayam, four, each adhyayam has four padam, each pada has like topics, which is called adhikaranam. Adhikaranam means one topic is answered, one topic is discussed and answered. So one topic is discussed and answered means it may be that just one sutra is enough to discuss and answer the topic, or there can be like 2 or 3 or 10 or 20 sutras. So adhyayam, padam, adhikaranam and sutra. So the first 4 sutras form 4 adhikaranam, that means the one sutra itself is an entire adhikaranam, it's an entire topic. So that means like that is also speaks about the importance of these 4 sutras. Each one gives a different view. So the first sutra is, so the first adhikaranam, so it is called Jijnyasa Adhikaranam. Jijnyasa Adhikaranam. So Jijnyasa Adhikaranam, and the sutra is like, it is 2 words. The sutra is 2 words, just 2 words. First word has 2 words, sandhi of 2 words. So that means there are in total 3 words, but the first two words are into one word, and then the second word. So it's called like padam or words is what is called in Sanskrit. So dvipada sutram, if we say ekapada sutram means one sutra with just one word, dvipada sutram means sutra with 2 words. So here there are 2 words, but the first word is a mixed sandhi of 2 words. So the sutra is Athato Brahma Jijnyasa. So the second word is Brahma Jijnyasa. So again, I am sorry. Brahma Jijnyasa itself means like it is a, again, sandhi of 2 words. So dvipadam in total 4 words. So Brahma Jijnyasa is the second padam. And then the first padam is Athato. So the first is second tha, and the second is first ta. So second ta comes first ta comes second. Don't get confused anyway. Athato Brahma Jinyasa. So this is the sutra. As we learned that sutras are like capsules. So it is very small, this is where. So the Guru says, okay, since you have now negated Jadam, let us like know what is left behind. That means, let us know Brahman. Let us desire to know Brahman. So since Jadam is out, Dukkham is gone, but do I have Sukham? I won't have Sukham unless I have Chit. Oh, when Jadam is not there in deep sleep, I have Anandam. So why should I know about Brahman? I'll just negate Jadam. I'll just negate the word Jagan Mithya. And then I am Shunyam. It doesn't matter whether I am Shunyam or Sata. It doesn't matter. I'll just negate the world. If that is what a person replies, then in deep sleep state, we are not aware of the happiness. We only say, like after coming from deep sleep state, we say that I slept well. Was I really aware at that time? There was no awareness. There is no real awareness. So we shouldn't confuse this with Brihadaranyaka's statement that there is no dvaitam there, therefore perception doesn't happen. That means external objects are not perceived. That doesn't rule out awareness. Awareness means the pulsation, the pulsating eye is always aware. So that awareness is somehow veiled there. That means if you just remove Jadam, that is not enough. Just contemplating on Jagan Mithya is not enough. Oh, there is no water in desert. That knowledge is not enough because we need to know that the water which was seen in desert is desert. That makes the knowledge complete. There is no snake. That doesn't end it. We should say there is only roof. So Jagan Mithya is not enough. We need to have Brahma Satyam as well. Therefore, the Guru says, you have now negated Jadam. You have like almost kind of removed Dukkham. But in order to get Sukham, you need to know about Brahman. So this is an ideal state. The Shishya is able to renounce or negate Jadam completely. But that's not ideal. Like actual state is always different from an ideal state. So in ideal state, we'll have to do Jagan Mithya and Brahma Satyam. We have to negate or know that Jadam is Mithya and Chit is real. We'll have to do both simultaneously together. Ideally, like after this, after removal of Jadam, accepting Chit is the ideal way, but that never happens that way. So the Guru says, let us now know about Brahman or Chit. If we need to know about Brahman, how can we know Brahman? The only way to know something is to have the desire to know. That means the Guru says, let us now desire to know Brahman. Let us have the desire to know Brahman. This is also the reason why Balakrishna Nair says, and which I completely accept, that the only quality, real quality that is required in a seeker to realize is the desire for liberation. If that desire is there, everything automatically follows. So it is that desire which is required. And like we shouldn't think that, oh, I haven't done a lot of sadhana. Oh, this person says that he did so much sadhana, he learned a lot. I'm not doing all those, so I don't know whether I'm eligible. I don't know whether I can learn Brahma Sutra because I sleep in between class. So all those things we shouldn't think, because Brahman is our nature. It is as much as my nature as it is Shankara's nature. So Shankara or any other person cannot say, oh, you want to know Brahman? Love, no. I will not teach you Brahman. You will never know Brahman. Get away. No guru can say that, because we already are that. It's our nature. It's possible, like it's very much possible. So the only thing, so we should remember that, like our nature is Brahman. If we know that it is our nature, that means it's easy to realize. Nobody can say you will not realize, you cannot realize. Anyone can realize because it is their own nature. But if we have to realize, like after removing Jadam, that is not exactly enough, we need to desire Brahman. Desire to know Brahman. So it is, the words are very important. Desire to know Brahman. It's not desire for moksha. If we say desire for moksha, then we can say, oh, is it moksha like Amrit Swarupananda said? And like one of the song of Amma says, Muktikyam illa tellum asha. I am a bhakta. Oh, Amma, I don't even need moksha. Amrit Swarupananda said in Michigan, right? Like, I don't want moksha. I just want to be with Amma. But then, like, of course, like, if he gives such interpretations, Amma will scold him because it is against Vedanta. Therefore, he immediately said that is moksha. Being with Amma is moksha. Therefore, that is what I meant. I don't know whether... Okay, probably retention capacity has to be increased. So that's what he said. So a bhakta might say, I don't need moksha, I just need to be with Bhagavan, with Ishvara. That itself is moksha. So moksha has different interpretations, different definitions. There can be confusion. Therefore, here it is said, it is not moksha, knowing chit, desire to know chit. The more and more we know chit, that means paroksham and aparoksham we know chit. The more and more we know chit, the more anandam we will get. That is the reason why sadhakas are attracted to learning about Brahman, and thereby they sleep in classes. It's a different thing. So that's the reason why like people want to learn about Brahman, because the more and more you learn about Brahman, the more and more you concentrate about chit, along with of course jadam is mithya, that is part and parcel of the process. So the more and more we learn about chit, the more anandam we get by the aparoksham and aparoksham jnanam. So the desire to know Brahman, so there is no confusion of moksha. That is the reason why while the sutra is defined as something which is asandigdham, which is beyond doubt. You cannot have any doubt. Like no bhakta can come and say, oh, Vedanta says about bhakti. It says about bhakti. I think that bhakti is parabhakti, which is same as advitiya jnanam. No, 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 it is not that way. It is only aparabhakti. It is only bhakti which is different. Many bhaktas have said, I just want to be with Ishvara. I don't want to be one with him. I just want to enjoy him. See him and enjoy. Does Vedanta say that? We can immediately say it doesn't say that, because Brahma Sutra is a condensed form of Vedanta. It is a logical analysis of the doubt or confusing parts of Vedanta. That means, in order to avoid confusion, asandigdham, without any doubt, without any confusion, that's why it says, desire to know Brahman. And it is following this sutra that Shankara says, as well as Shruti also says in many places, that okay, there is Brahman can be realized only through jnanam. Jnanam is same as bhakti. For a Advaitin, jnanam is same as bhakti. But the normal interpretation of bhakti is going to temple, going to singing songs, that is known as bhakti, because that's the illusion. It is again, we can say it is an adhyasam there. It is an adhyasam inside our adhyasam. Tati bhasika satyam. But okay, the jokes aside. So that is what we get confused about bhakti, because bhakti has a different meaning than it. Therefore, Shankara follows the Shastram as well as Brahma Sutra, saying that jnanam alone can make us realized. Avirodhitaya karma na vidyam minivartaye vidya vidyam nihantyeva tejas kimirasangavat. So karma is born out of avidya, therefore karma cannot remove avidya. Avidya can be removed only by vidya, means jnanam. So we know that, okay, the shishya knows that his real nature is the pulsating chit, but jadam somehow veiled it. He is removing jadam. But when he removes jadam, the only way to realization or removal of jadam and knowing and realizing chit is through knowledge that I am chit. More and more knowledge of chit, that will in turn remove jadam. Jadam will be removed and concentration on chit will happen. So that's, though the words are very important, so the Guru says, let us try to learn or desire. Let us have the desire to know Brahman. He doesn't say, let us know Brahman, because knowledge is realization. He doesn't say that. He says, if you have the desire for liberation, then like be assured that you'll realize. Maybe like it will take two births, because we sleep half of this birth. Half or more than half probably, that's fine. So let us desire to know Brahman. Two birth is enough? Two is enough? Oh. 20 or two, it'll go to 2000 anyway, and that's fine. So what, like the word meaning of the sutra, sorry, I thought you were noting that. The word meaning of the sutra is that athato brahma jijnyasa. So Brahman or Chit, jijnyasa means like jnyatum iccha jijnyasa. So it's like I'm giving Sanskrit words, because that makes it easier for us to remember. So jnyatum iccha jijnyasa, words are simple. Jnyatum means to know, iccha means desire, that is called jijnyasa. And a person who has jijnyasa is called a jijnyasu. That is one of the bhakta that Krishna says in Gita. So we can correlate a lot of things. So artho jijnyasu rathati jnani cha bharatvarshava. Jnani is out of the question. Artha and arthati, they are suffering people. So this arthas and arthati is people who want to remove like sorrow temporarily, and who want like sensual pleasures. They find that okay, they somehow, due to their punya karma or whatever way, they somehow think that all this is futile. Let me ask the guru as to how to get out of this. So they become a jijnyasu, and by becoming a jijnyasu, they finally become a jnani. Eppada jnani avum ellam think pannaraenga, that we are already jnani. We are all jnanis. Okay, that's a different thing. It's a fact, so it's not like you don't need to laugh. It's a fact, because we are all chit, but we don't know. Temporarily, we don't know. So, jnatum iccha jijnyasa. A person who has jijnyasa is jijnyasu. So, brahma jijnyasa means jnatum iccha, having the desire to know, is called jijnyasa. So, brahma jijnyasa means, like we can say, I think probably, I don't know the splitting or the visandhi or whatever they call it, splitting, I don't know which vibhakti and all, like, but it is jijnyasa of Brahman. That means having the desire to know is jijnyasa. Brahman means of Brahman. Having the jijnyasa to know Brahman. Having the desire to know Brahman. I don't get confused. I was just like intertwining or whatever. I was using words here and there, jumbling words. So, having the desire to know Brahman is Brahma Jijnyasa, and Atha To. So, Atha and Attaha. So, Atha, there is no Attaha there. So, Atha, Attaha. So, it becomes Atha Taha. But as like is Sanskrit prose is used, Atha To. To means it is Taha. So, Atha means now. So, Atha means now. And Attaha means therefore. So, Atha means now. Attaha means therefore. Brahma Jijnyasa means desire to know Brahman. So, now, comma, therefore, desire to know Brahman. That means, let us desire to know Brahman. Or the Guru says, have the desire to know Brahman. So, what are the significance of Atha and Attaha? So, Atha means now. So, now here means like, Atha word has like two interpretations, but here it means, Atha means Adhikari. Means I am a perfect adhikari. So that means I have done like sadhanas, like my mind is now little bit pure. How is my mind little bit pure? How can you say that? if I want, like if I ask the guru about like how to get out of sorrow, that itself means mind is to an extent pure. So we may think that as Shankara says, now means like adhikari, now means like after I have become a proper adhikari, after I am a proper adhikari, proper student, so that means like sadhana chatushtayam and all that means. So we don't need to think that sadhana chatushtayam is completely have sadhana chatushtayam, because that's again the ideal case. The ideal case is the student has sadhana chatushtayam and then he comes to the guru and says, the guru says, let us know Brahman. He'll say, what is Brahman? Immediately the disciple will realize. It's not that we cannot, we need not do it. That's an ideal case. But still, that means the sadhana chatushtayam, sadhana chatushtayam sampatti, or like ways, the sadhana and all are still to be done, because we have to purify the mind, we have to strengthen the mind. But once that is done, then desire to know Brahman, and when we know Brahman, we'll immediately realize. Else like it will be a like continuous process, it will be a cycle, like we will learn Brahman, purify our mind little bit, again learn Brahman, purify, this will go on and on and on. And that's the reason why some people learn about Brahman, they know Brahman, what scriptures say, they know everything, but still they will not have Anandam, because their mind is still impure, they haven't corrected that part. That's the reason why we need to do sadhana. So sadhana gives us the strength, like Balakrishna says, okay, there is nothing to be done, only this is needs to be done. We just need to know that chit jadam and always renounce jadam and concentrate on chit. Always, whenever, whatever we are doing, just remember this chit jadam, that itself purifies the mind, it does everything. But if we have to do that, then we need sadhana. We need, or we may need, that's the ideal way, like as Balakrishna himself says, we don't need all those, but we may need all those, because some people might be able to directly get into chit jadam, some people may not be able to do. Some people are like Ashtavakra, they learn in the womb, or like Prahlada, in the womb itself they will learn. Some people will come out, they will suffer, and then they will learn. So that's how it goes. So now means adhikari, a proper adhikari, at least a little bit purity of mind. And aptaha means therefore. Therefore means what? I've tried out all means. When do people really seek Vedanta? Oh, Vedanta, that is like when we grow old. So when we grow old, when we don't have like proper teeth and all, then we'll say, Papa, Bhamma, Papa. We'll not even be able to chant. And at that time, like, we will want to learn about Brahman. Forget learning Brahman, we cannot even speak about Brahman. Forget like using the intellect to use logic. So, and that's also escapism. At least if in old age they start, they'll become realized at least in next 2-3 births. But this old age itself, what will happen is, okay, when I grow old, you shouldn't learn all this now. Grow old, marry, have a good life. When everything is done, when nobody is with you, then seek Vedanta. Have you done that? Oh, no, I didn't have the need to. I am happy with the way now. When somebody like asks, like when old people say you shouldn't learn Vedanta, and you ask them, are you doing that? Then they'll say, no, my case is different. I am happy now, I am content. So when you speak about Vedanta, contentment automatically comes. The moment you go out, contentment also vanishes. It goes through the back door. So that is what happens with elderly people. But so that means Vedanta like is generally the last resort. That means like if I can't get happiness, like I'll marry like 5 or 6 or 7 times, it doesn't matter. I'll try out all options possible. I'll stay with a woman for 3 years, and then like if everything is fine, then I'll marry. If not, like I'll, after marriage also everything will not be fine, because that is okay. 3 years you cannot know a person. So all those happen, and finally when nothing works, we run to Mahatmas like an Amma and say, why you need relief? And do we really ask about Brahman? We say, Amma, I need a a new partner, can you please help me out? After discussing about Brahman, finally they'll say, you should pray that my daughter gets a good alliance. Like, it's like Paramartha said, like, it was a comedy state, like, I went for Anubhuti Prakasham, one of the work he was discussing. Paramartha's gang is like very old people, like his grandfather goes, so you can say. He is your grandson and his grandfather goes. Okay, so that's like his grandfather goes. So his grandfather goes. So that means like it's an old gang. So I was sitting there when Paramartha said, people come to discourses like just for time pass. Then they'll come there and say, Swamiji, you will know a lot of people. You'll know and you not only have interaction with a lot of people, but you are a Jeevan Mukta, so you can know others as well. You can know their mind. Therefore, if you have a proper groom, please give their horoscope. Introduce that us. So when they come there, they'll think, and the problem was like, I was in a fix there. Because I was the only person young there. So I was looking here and there, like if somebody is looking at me. Vashama Martin Dene. But luckily nobody looked. Maybe like, but I didn't have hair at that time. Anyway, nobody looked, so I was saved. So that's what happens, like when everything goes off, you'll come to Vedanta. And that too, like when nothing works, even you don't want Vedanta, you will just want some temporary relief from Amma or any other Mahatma. So maybe like the scriptures or Vedavyasa knew the state, therefore he said, therefore means after all resorts have failed, everything has failed. I can also add that we went to Mahatmas like Amma and asked them for Siddhis. Asked them like, Amma, I need to join Chinmaya mission, please help me. We have asked all that also. So after everything is done, they joined Chinmaya mission, became a yellow robe, became a red, Rajesh Ananda. Okay, Rajesh Amrita Ananda. Rajesh Ananda Saraswati. Shantyananda Saraswati. So all after that finally we will think, oh, I joined it all this. But what is the purpose? I don't know Brahman. Now let me start learning Vedanta. So there are sannyasis. Sannyasis means like it's not people who are realized. Sannyasa means just people who renounce everything and they do other activities, social service. That is what is sannyasa. Atmano rakshartam jagat hitaya cha. Atmanah rakshartam. Protecting or uplifting the Atman and jagat hitaya cha. Do welfare to the world. That means Atmanah Rakshartham itself means protecting or uplifting the Atman means they may be realized, may not be realized. It need not be the case. So maybe like Vedavyasa knew that when everything fails, we will come to Vedanta. Therefore, he says all things I have tried out. The Guru says like knowing the Shishya state, the Guru maybe like probably the Guru was living with the Shishya or the Shishya was living with the Guru. In his Gurukula, and then the Shishya would have tried everything. He would have tried like trying to realize through singing, through sleeping, through teaching like we are doing. So all sorts, Dhyanam, let me try out Dhyanam. Oh, I took Vipassana meditation, now let me try out Art of Living. Let me try that out and then I'll try out Aim. Amrita integrated meditation. So let me try out all ways, he would have tried everything. And when nothing failed, the Guru says, okay, now, since you seem to be a qualified student. I know that you are not fully qualified, but to an extent you are qualified. At least you come to the class, even though you may sleep in the class, at least you sit in the class. So that itself is good. So you are at least to an extent a qualified student. And since you have tried out everything, I don't know whether you have tried out all paths, you should try out the different ways, grihastha ashrama, vanaprastham, everything you should try and then, oh, nothing worked. Why did you try all this? You could have directly come, right? No. Brahma Sutra says, ataha, therefore after trying out everything you should come, not directly. So we don't need to do that, like because when somebody tells that don't put your hand on fire, it will burn like majority of us have not done it, but we know through somebody else's experience, we learn from others' experience. So we don't need to do, somebody says, okay, Shastra say that you should, Ramakrishna mission say that you should experience the world. If you experience the world, then you will know that it is asukham, and then you can come to Brahman. Then we should immediately say, that's not how the world works. We may learn through our own experience, but we can learn through others' experience as well. So why should I, like, knowingly, why should I jump into fire? I don't need to do that. Therefore, as the guru, probably the guru or the shishya, the guru and shishya, they wanted to make a point. Therefore, the shishya, like, instead of us trying out, the shishya tried out himself everything, and then he is the person sacrificing. So we should thank the shishya. Don't ask me who is the shishya, I don't know. So anyway, so the guru says, therefore, so after trying out all means, let us now desire to know Brahman. So qualified seeker, after knowing that, okay, therefore, so we can interpret therefore as not after trying out, but after knowing that nothing will give us anandam, let us now desire to know Brahman. So that means let us try to know Brahman, not even try, but first, even if we have to know Brahman, first we need to have the desire to know Brahman. So let us desire to know Brahman, that is what the first sutra says. The guru says, okay, the first step, so this adhyasam, dukkham, knowing chit jadam, all those are fine. The first step to realization is, you have already known about jadam, how? Ataha. You know that jada vastus cannot give you anandam. You have tried out jada vastus, it cannot give us anandam. Therefore, the first step is, know more about chit. And what is chit? Brahman. Brahma jidnyasa. So let us know about Brahman. So the disciple is like, probably the disciple is like a qualified seeker, but he is also like us, he doesn't know much shastras and all. Therefore, the next question comes, okay, you are speaking about desire to know Brahman. What is Brahman? So Ramayana ketadukapram, Sita petti kekapradhu, you shouldn't ask, okay, can you please tell me who is Sita to Rama? அது மாதிரி அவன் சீதைக்கு ராமனுக்கு சீதை என்ன சொல்லுவாள் கேட்டுக்கா சித்தப்பன் ஆகுமான்னு சொன்ன மாதிரி அது மாதிரி ஆயிடும். ஸோ வி ஷுடன் வி நோ நோ லைக் வி ஆர் மச் பெட்டர் தேன் த குவாலிஃபைட் சீக்கர். பட் த திங் இஸ் தட் இஸ் வாட் இஸ் த நெக்ஸ்ட் திங் தட் ஹேஸ் டு பி ஆன்சர்ட் தட் வாட் இஸ் பிரம்மன். ஸோ த ஃபர்ஸ்ட் திங் இஸ் லெட் அஸ் டிசையர் டு நோ பிரம்மன். ஸோ வி நீட் டு ஹாவ் த டிசையர், வி நீட் டு கிரியேட் மோர் அண்ட் மோர் டிசையர் டு நோ மோர் அண்ட் மோர் அபவுட் சித். Knowing that chit is one, that is one alone. If we know that, then like it's like telling that chit jadam pervades all these four sutras. Whenever we are learning these four sutras, chit jadam pervades these four sutras. Though the ideal flow is the shishya doesn't know about chit, he just knows jadam needs to be renounced and he wants to know about chit. But we already know, so we should remember chit jadam, and then we'll see in the next day about like what is Brahman, which is answered in the second sutra. No, sure.